The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, thank you so much for being with me today on Afternoons with Mike. What a joy it is to welcome Senator Rick Scott as my guest today for the first part of the program. As you all can imagine, his schedule is incredibly tight. I'm so grateful that he was able to eke out a few minutes to talk with me. And coming up in a moment after that, it will be an interview with Crystal Parker. She's my guest for the remainder of today's program. She's the president of the Central Florida Christian Chamber. So she'll be on following Senator Scott. So without further ado, let me take you to my interview with Senator Rick Scott. Let me just say, first of all, on behalf of our listeners and a grateful state of citizens in general, thank you, sir, for all that you're doing and have done, both as governor and now as Senate. So thank you so very much.
Well, hopefully, just got to keep working every day.
It is a hard work every day. When you get up, you've got something that's gigantic facing you. I have a question for you, sir. With all that's happened in 2020, I know none of us would have believed that this year would have gone the way it's gone. The COVID impact has been great. What are your thoughts on our recovery, especially in the area of economic impact and recovery?
Well, I'm very optimistic. I believe, first off, Florida is going to do well as long as we keep our taxes low and you know, work on keeping our regulation low and allow people to get permits to open up businesses. You know, Americans and Floridians in particular, you know, are very optimistic and they're business oriented and they want to do things. You know, we've got to be hopeful on the vaccine. We've got to be realistic that it might take a while, so we just have to work hard. But I think the economy is going to come back strong. It's actually coming back strong. I think what we've got to be careful up here is do no harm, you know, pass things that help the people who have lost their job, pass things that would help a small business get reopened or stay open, make sure our schools get open, make sure we have a good testing program and vaccine. But other than that, let people lead their lives. That's what they want. People want to be independent. I grew up in a very poor family, but my mom didn't want to be dependent on government, and she never let us ever complain. We had to go make something happen every day.
You know, that is true. We want to be independent, and that's part of the heart and the spirit of this great country, not depending on other countries, not depending on really the aid that many people look at, even from our own government. Are you happy, sir, with the direction that our state is going, the state of Florida, with regards to reopening and the recovery from the coronavirus?
Well, if you go around the state, I think people are taking seriously wearing a mask and social distancing. I think our businesses are trying to figure out how to get their customers back. So I think all that's positive. I always believe that government can give you more information. I remember when I had the four hurricanes and when I had the Zika healthcare crisis, my job was to give people as much information as possible. I always think the federal government, state government, local government, if they give us more information, we'll respond and act responsibly. And but it's happening. Businesses are coming back. There's more jobs. So my job up here is to, you know, is number one, do good and do no harm. And that's what I try to do with any legislation that I'm dealing with, either proposing or reviewing to see whether I'm going to support it or not. I do believe we've got to understand we got too much federal debt. We have to understand that the Federal Reserve has gotten too big a balance sheet. We haven't pre-funded most of our budget, and most of our budget we don't even vote on, such as Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. That's wrong. We've got to figure out how to have programs that people can rely on, but there has to be a program to actually fund them in the future, and that's not what's going on right now at the federal government. The federal government is not they're not being realistic with Americans about the financial issues we're dealing with.
Well, that being said, there are big, big fish to fry in that area. And one of them that the federal government, I know, is going to, I'm hearing this in the news regularly, and that would be the state of the country from the standpoint of its safety. I know that historically, obviously, our government is really charged with the safety of citizens. With what's going on in the streets of America right now, what is the mood in Washington? What can be done? What can we expect from the standpoint of law and order?
I think you should be very disappointed in Congress. I think that at this place, I've been up here a little over a year and a half. It's very dysfunctional. People don't work well together. The Democrats are talking about defunding the police. You don't hear them when you see the problems in Los Angeles where two individuals were shot, and then you hear people chant at the hospital that they hope they die. I mean, that's disgusting. And the Democrats are not calling these people out because they're relying on them for a vote. So I think this is a very tough time for our law enforcement community. We lost over 50 members of law enforcement while I was governor in the line of duty, and they show up every day. So by the way, when the Democrats decide to defund the police, who's going to show up when you make the 911 phone call? Who's going to make sure that your community is safe? It's always been law enforcement. Mm-hmm. You can't build businesses. You can't open schools. You can't live in a community if it's not safe. And that's what these Democrats are doing. So I think right now you should be extremely disappointed that Congress is not and it's all tied to the Democrats, because we had a law enforcement reform bill. They wouldn't even allow us to have a vote on it. They didn't want to have, they stopped it before we could ever start looking at how we can make it better. They don't have a goal of making things better. The Democrats don't have a goal of making things better up here. Pelosi and Schumer, it's all about how do they get a majority of the House and Senate and the presidency in November. That's all the focus is up here. It's a disgusting time.
If you were to try to encourage the people in Florida, what would be the first thing that you would say that we can do, both either in these two issues, one on our economic front, or two, just being a proponent for law and order? What would you say the people of Florida can do?
Well, first off, every time they see anybody from law enforcement, thank them. Thank them for putting their lives on the line every day. I think everybody's got to get out there and vote and elect people that are going to say, you know what? I'm going to focus on building a better economy. I'm going to focus on making sure our schools are the best in the world. I'm going to focus on making sure we have the best law enforcement so we can live in safe communities. And then the way to lead your personal life is do the things your mom told you to do. Treat people with respect. Help each other. Lead your life the way your mom. So your mom, you never disappoint your mom. You should live by the golden rule. I mean, that's what we ought to be doing. But if we don't elect people that care about jobs, if we don't elect people that care about schools, if we don't elect people that care about law enforcement, guess what? It's going to get worse. And the Democrats, they become socialists. I mean, if you want to talk about darkness, I mean, socialism will kill the American economy and hurt so many people. It's, when you think about defunding the police, who's that's going to hurt? It's going to hurt the poor. That's why I tell people, go vote. And vote on what will make your family's life better. Forget about the parties. Vote for what will make your family's life better. And you know what? They're going to vote for, better schools. They're going to vote for better law enforcement. They're going to vote for a better economy.
Well, I know we're out of time, and I want to thank you so very much for being with us today here on The Shepherd. Senator Scott, this is Senator Rick Scott, and again, on behalf of all of us, thank you for getting up every day and fighting the fight that you're fighting for the citizens of Florida.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be on with you today, and thank you for what you're doing. I'm very optimistic. God has created an unbelievable country we live in with individual rights, and we all have to fight to make sure we keep it.
I agree with you, sir. Senator Rick Scott, God bless you, and thanks again.
All right. See you, Mike. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'll be back in just a moment with Crystal Parker, president of the Central Florida Christian Chamber. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. We are back again, and in the studio with me after that interview with Senator Rick Scott, I've got Crystal Parker from the Christian Chamber. Welcome, Crystal. It's so nice to have you here.
Hi, Mike, and thank you so much for such a hearty welcome. I am happy and blessed to be here today.
You know, the last time we talked, it was over the phone, and this time we're socially distanced. We're apart from each other, not in our main studio yet. I look forward to the day that that happens, but at least we're under the same roof, and we are able to have this face-to-face interview, which is kind of nice. Now, you've got your role as the president of the chamber is a couple of months in now, and you've been going, I get what, since June, I believe?
Since July 1st.
July 1st. And you're actually going to be the speaker for the meeting that is coming up. That's actually tomorrow.
Yes. Thursday is the day. And when I took over the position, I knew that I would want to address the chamber. But I wanted to take a little bit of time to assess the state of the chamber and really see what the Lord was telling me and how we were going to evolve. So I feel like the timing on this is great. Certainly, we didn't expect to be doing this with watch parties. We thought we would be in a traditional setting. But, you know, God's so good. I think through this and an evolution of how we've been doing things, it's really helped us to kind of question, what's the best way to have the lunch, still bring people together? And for those that want to get out, give them an opportunity to feel community. And for those that still would rather experience the lunch or a message from the safety of their home or office, we're able to provide both options.
Now, you know, we heard the senator talking about the guarded optimism that we need to have with regards to the vaccine. I think the government and the leaders in many communities are looking as that being kind of like the touchstone, the real hope, if you will, that we can get back to face-to-face business, face-to-face meetings. It's so weird for me being a sports fan, watching baseball with little cutout people in the first couple of rows. I mean, it is, you know, and they've got piped in crowd noises. So if you just shut your eyes, it sounds like you're listening to normal baseball. But when you watch it, it's anything but normal. And it's got to be so weird, even for you coming in the first couple of months of being president. And the world has kind of like the sand has shifted underneath our feet. And we're like, wow, what do we do? How do we do? What kind of meeting is this going to be? Virtual meetings, as you said, with watch parties. And the watch parties are basically where people are gathering at one location, still guarding themselves, being careful, social distancing, etc. And then yet watching a virtual event on a big monitor. And that's basically what's happening.
That's exactly right. And it really provides the opportunity for people that need to be out and want to be out. But we also have virtual chat rooms and smaller breakout rooms in the virtual environment as well. And, you know, initially through COVID, when a lot of things were shut down, we were still doing virtual meetings. And it was really neat to be able to meet people in a virtual environment, have meaningful conversations, and then be able to see each other for the first time in human form. And you already established that relationship. It was just a really neat way to look at establishing relationship, even through virtually. It still felt like you were making friends, even in a virtual environment.
Now, the meeting that we had at First Baptist in Orlando, the last meeting, which was face-to-face, do you see any more meetings like that coming up in the future, in immediate future?
I do. I do think that, you know, when I did the watch party this time, I just wanted to do one location that offered a larger amount of people to go. We were capping it right around 25. And I thought, if we look at this meeting and if this watch party fills up really fast, then I'll be able to kind of get a temperature of how people are feeling and are they ready to get back into person for the lunch. Mm-hmm. And we did fill up, but it didn't happen as quickly as I thought, which tells me that people are still a little bit guarded. Mm-hmm. and looking, you know, especially with, and I knew once schools started that it would also add a little complexity into the situation with COVID and people's concern of having school-aged children and wanting to see what happened there. So I think this is a good first step. And, you know, I think it's touch and go as it relates to having a larger meeting of 100 plus people. It's really touch and go. And we'll continue to just take the pulse of the survey with members and see where people are week to week.
Now, the senator was very optimistic with regards to business in Florida. He would feel that we're on track and that while, again, some people are looking toward the vaccine, there are other signs in Florida that the rate of infections from the coronavirus has been going down, and talk about further ease of restrictions happening in the days to come. It's going to have an impact on business. And, you know, it was sad to hear the news of SeaWorld, where 1,900 people permanently let out of their jobs. They were already furloughed, so it's not like they've been working, but they were still technically part of the company. And now that was a blow, I know, to that whole facility and really our economy in Florida. What do you feel when you're out there? Would you agree that there's a sense of optimism about a return, even in the face of reports like that?
Yes. we were just at what we call a Fellowship Friday last week, and Orlando Wedding and Party Rentals hosted it. And we had over 22 people come to that event.
And these are all representing businesses.
Different businesses, yeah.
Not just individuals, but they represent businesses.
Absolutely. Business owners that were there at that event. And we had some people talk about, you know, immediately when COVID happened, you know, reducing staff from 40 plus employees just to the owners. And then now getting started in starting to look for people and starting to prepare to ramp back up. And then we had three people that were in that room that started businesses, brand new businesses, right in the time of COVID. That's really encouraging. I have to say, the Christian Chamber is growing. We've been growing since July, August. We're on track to grow again this month as well. And so we're seeing an increase in membership in the middle of this time. And I really believe that people are repositioning themselves. That's why I really wanted to title my talk this month, Where Innovation Drives and Vision Where Innovation Lies and Vision Drives, because now is the time to really tap into supernatural innovation. And we're seeing that with these businesses. People are starting new business in the middle of this challenging time.
You know, we've all heard that adage that the necessity is the mother of invention. And if there's ever been a necessity to kind of reinvent ourselves, it's this thing that's happened to not only our country, not only our area, but the entire world. And we read about it globally. People are being affected all over the world and have been affected. And it's created this need. And the odd thing, what you just said is so true. Even coming in today, listening to SRN News, I heard a story about the fact that there are a lot of businesses that's actually flourished during the coronavirus. And it seems to be the land of the haves and the have-nots. There's a lot of businesses, obviously, that have really been hurt. Some even tragically shut down. Mm-hmm. But overall, we have to look at this thing from an overall picture and determine what's going to be our viewpoint. And what I'm hearing you say is there are good signs that people are moving forward, reinventing themselves, doing what they need to do to get back on track again.
Yes. And something that's been really neat to see as well is businesses recognizing new streams of income into their business that they hadn't thought about before, because they've had to get creative and again, serve the customer. And so they're recognizing new ways to make money, which when the other pieces start to open up again, which they will, we will recover, we will rebound, it will happen. Then they've added another stream of income into their diversification portfolio, and they'll be stronger in the long run.
What do you think when you look back at the restrictions upon businesses? What do you think would be, if we could have like a layer of loosening, what would be the biggest thing that is still kind of tight right now on restrictions? Would it be the percentage of people in the buildings, or would it be another ease of any other type of government in, I hate to use the word intrusion. That's what was coming out, but it does feel that way at times that we're not able to do what we need to do. In fact, Senator Scott said, we just need to get out of the way and let people live. What do you think would be the best thing that could happen to businesses in Central Florida?
Wow, that's a very interesting question. And I don't know if my answer will be popular or not, but it is what I believe. And I think that what's happening is exactly what's supposed to happen. And, you know, when you're looking at certain limitations in businesses or restaurants or whatever, ultimately, it's the consumer that's going to drive that. Mm-hmm. And they're not filled. They're not full. I mean, for example, like just the little watch party that we put on, it took a while to get to that place of capacity. And so I think it's really the individuals, it's going to be the consumers that are going to drive this. And right now, even in the limited capacity, there's still not, you know, large waiting lists and things like that. So I think that this is really a nice, slow rollout is okay. If we just rip the cover off, you know, I would shudder to think that we'd have to go backwards. And so having a nice transition is getting people more comfortable being out and about, helping people to understand how to do it in a safe way, you know, by utilizing safe distancing or masks or whatever. And that's been really interesting. What a divisive topic that is right there. Dare I say masks, but you know, it is part of what is becoming the norm in the society and to be able to function. And I think people are starting to understand that, accept that. And as that starts to happen and people understand how to keep themselves safe and keep the spread from happening, then I think it will move to the next step. And the next step is reducing some of those restrictions.
So basically, you're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly, you think that it's individuals that can step out of maybe some of the concerns, step out of some of the fears that have developed. And, you know, it would be my thought that I think there's, I agree with you. I think there's too many people too afraid for what we're seeing. To me, talking to Dave Zanotti from the Public Square, he has the feeling that the numbers don't really back up the level of fear that a lot of people are having. And if we just look at the numbers, yes, certainly this is a serious problem. I've got friends up in Gainesville. One friend almost passed away. I mean, she's a young woman. Not, you know, it's not like we believe that there is nothing there. But the question would be, with being careful, wise use, not going to places. If people would just do this, not going to places when they're sick, basic stuff. Would this be possible to see things push back toward that normalcy? And my personal thought is, I believe we're there. I believe that's what needs to happen as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly right. And some people, you know, you see them wear their mask and they wear their mask faithfully. And they say, I'm doing this because I want the economy to come back.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a question. And again, I don't expect you to have every person's thought on it, but the general feeling, would you feel that the businesses that you talk to, would those business owners have a positive or maybe a skeptical look at a vaccine being the all-in-all answer?
Yeah, I think it's a mixed on that because of people's comfort level to be able to utilize a vaccine that maybe hasn't had the testing that we're used to seeing, you know, that you would hope to have. So I've heard kind of a mixed bag as far as people saying, I'm not going to be first in line for that. And then others going, I'm going to be there first in line. So I don't think, you know, we heard early on, it depends on who wins the election. And now it's the vaccine or whatever. And I don't think there's a silver bullet that's going to make this just go away like people hope. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, again, you know, we just have to, number one, I think people need to understand the news is made to be checked, not watched. And I think that can really create a fear mindset when people just continuously watch and watch and watch and watch the news. And then also recognizing there's ways to keep themselves safe. There's no 100%. The only way that you're not going to get it 100% is, unfortunately, if you're not living outside of your bubble, right? And even then, there's still a chance. And so just thinking about personal safety, you know, turning it over to God and just resting in the fact that God's in control. This isn't any big surprise. He didn't go like, oh no, I've really let the humans down this time. This is, I mean, God is in control.
He's sovereign.
He's sovereign, Mike. And if we focus on what we can't do and the restrictions and the this and that, then we're focusing on the wrong thing. And this is what I'm going to talk about on Thursday. If we focus on the problem, we're going to see the problem. If we focus on God, then everything else is going to work out according to his will and his plan. We can fight this. I mean, I spent 45 years fighting what God's will was for my life, right? But God's will and plan for our life will be revealed. And so do we want to do it the easy way or we want to do it the hard way? And so I'm not saying, oh, just like live in utopia and it all goes away. But I'm just saying what you focus on is what you're going to get. So looking at the masks, looking at the restrictions or whatever, be inventive. That is just where innovation can lie, is in these problems and these challenges.
We're going to give her background. This is Crystal Parker. In our next segment, we're going to come up for folks that might be listening, maybe for the first time, to hear Crystal, our new leader, the president of the Central Florida Christian Chamber, representing a bunch of businesses in Central Florida. And it is such an exciting, vibrant group. I've been a part now for over a year, and it's really a blessing to see and to be a part of, because it really is a community. It's a community of people who have a like mind, a common goal, and they really do care about each other. So it's something worth listening to. Crystal Parker will be with me here in a moment. We'll be right back. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. Back again on Afternoons with Mike. In the studio with me is Crystal Parker, the president of the Central Florida Christian Chamber. And she took over from our good friend Mark Goldstein, who's a regular on this program, and he's a lot of fun. And I tell you what, some would say you had some really, really big shoes to fill, and that would be true. But honestly, you're doing a great job. And the fact that Mark was guaranteed, I mean, from the moment he had his first conversation with you, Mark had felt he had already met the person that was going to take over. And that was the confidence that he had. That was the faith that people have expressed. And so, you know, this community, as we talked about in the last segment, this community of businesses, which are believing owners, believers who believe not only in God, but believe in free enterprise and all that, what makes our American way of business so unique, so special. It's a big deal to have a group that really have each other's back, that are praying for one another, that are encouraging to one another, sending leads one to another, which we all know that kind of help is just so invaluable. So you came into this not being a person with no experience. You had a lot of experience. Give, if you will, kind of like the Cliff Notes version of the road that brought you here.
Well, first of all, you say some would say I had big shoes to fill. I think everybody would say that. And I couldn't even begin to put my shoe inside of his, because Mark did such a great job bringing this Christian Chamber to where it is, and just his heart to hand it off, but he's handing it off with lots of great insight. And he's not, and I said, you're not leaving me, are you? And he said, no way. He says, I love it so much. And he's a great part of the chamber. He's an ambassador with us, and he's still very well involved. So I just really value what he did and his insight and just the opportunity to be here as the leader of the Christian Chamber.
So is it daunting for you? I know your background was in executive levels in several companies. You have your own company, which we can talk about that as well. But do you feel like the things that is there a sense of like continuity in you, that you feel like God was really marching you toward this very day?
Yeah, he was definitely grooming me, even though I had no idea I was being groomed for this role. And I just think it's so neat that Mark was able to see and sense that in our first conversation when it wasn't even on my radar.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a college dropout, some may know, a psychology major, went back home. I started my career stocking shelves in a truck parts store, which was a subsidiary of a gas company. And that's really where I got my start. And I just developed a real love and eye for business. And within 11 years of being in that same company, but taking on a variety of different roles, I got my first opportunity to become an officer in the company. It was a Fortune 200 company. And I did finish my psychology degree. And when I became an officer, I went back to get my master's, and I did that in marketing. My very first officer job, I was running 47 cities, the gas company, all along the west side of Texas, and all of customer service for Texas. And then the next job that I got was the officer over all of the distribution companies, customer service, and we were J.D. Power's award-winning customer service, serving 2.1 million customers. And then as the Lord would have it, it was my season, it was my time to go. And I started my own business. They actually sent me to Harvard Business School. And it was interesting because one of the professors there said, some of you that are with a very slow, staunch moving company where there's a lot of bureaucracy may go back to your organization and feel a little bit disenfranchised after this course. And boy, that was so true for what I experienced, because it was all about innovation, globalization, and leadership diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to start my own company. And that's really kind of where my path led me to the Christian Chamber. I was looking to grow my company in Central Florida, because most of my leads and most of my warm market was in the Midwest, where I was doing business and where I was known. And being in Central Florida, since I wasn't from here, I needed an opportunity to meet people and to establish the business community, myself in the business community. And certainly I didn't have a six-figure marketing budget, which I know you and I both know. I mean, as a solopreneur, an individual contributor in an organization, I couldn't go and put my name on a billboard, and certainly wouldn't have found the value that I found when I joined the Christian Chamber. So somebody recommended Mark, and I get together, and 2 hours in the coffee shop, he walked away saying, there's my successor, which he didn't tell me at the time. And I walked away saying, I found my tribe. I found this place where I can go and I can pray openly, and I can be encouraged with other business people in the community, and really fulfill what I'm looking for, which is build relationships and ultimately build my business.
You know, when you think about the Bible, it talks about the one another's. There are over 30 of them. Be kind one to another, serve one another, pray for one another. How do you see that concept as a believer translating over into the idea of a Christian business, or not maybe a Christian business, but a business run by Christians?
Well, I've worked in both. You know, somebody asked me, they said, why are you still with Intent and Impact, which is my company? Or are you just Crystal with the Chamber? Why would you have both entities? And I really pondered that question for some time. And I think that the answer that I felt like was in my spirit was, I can now take the lessons that I'm learning within the Christian Chamber about how to be a business entrepreneurial Christian and be a Christ follower in the marketplace and a Christ following leader, and use those lessons and really take them into the secular world and be light in some of the areas where there's darkness.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in corporate America, in that, you know, publicly traded company, you know, nobody ever pulled me aside and prayed with me. Nobody. It really was about who can work the hardest, who can, you know, serve the mission of the company. And there was not anything about God in that mission. And I'm not suggesting that everybody's mission, even if you're a Christian, should have something about God in it, because God lives within the people and you sense and feel it in the organization. And so it's just really a very different experience when you're working in a place where there is Christian business owners versus in Christian values versus maybe Christ not being there or being expressed there.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think, Mike, that because I went to Sunday school or church or whatever, because I went there, that that made me a Christian in business. So I would go on Sunday and then that would be the only time I would express my faith. But I was a Christian because I went to church, but I wouldn't carry Christ with me in everything that I did. It was very segmented in my life. And what I've learned through the through the years and evolving into where God has me today is that Christ is to abide in us no matter where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens and you're in a constant relationship with the Lord, you just, there is no segmenting Christ. And so that was something too that I saw that was a difference in, you know, working in sort of the secular world and being there versus working with Christian business owners.
It's really wonderful that when people are comfortable in how they're leading their business, when people are believers and they are seeing God move and God build their business, and out of the blue things happen that it can't be explained in any other way other than what you talked about, the supernatural and intervention. God is involved in our daily lives. You know, the Bible says that he knows everything about us. He knows the hair on our heads. And older people like me joke about that he knows us less than he used to, because I got less hairs on my head than I used to. But that's a joke. And God knows us intimately. And more importantly, he cares about us. And I think for a business owner, that really is a double blessing, to realize he not only cares about me as a person, but he cares about me and what I do. He cares about and is involved in the daily affairs of my life, which is my business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think the key there is you have to invite him in. He wants to be in relationship. He wants to be involved in your business. But a lot of times people think, well, I've got this, or I've prayed my prayers, but I haven't invited him in. And it makes me think of the story when in the Bible where you've got the five loaves of bread and the mm-hmm. fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I found so fascinating about that when I read that was Jesus prayed over the bread and then sent it out. And then he prayed over the fish and sent it out. And I think so many times we think we're just going to pray for my business, but that being specific and really inviting God into every part of your life, mm-hmm. of your business, and asking for his blessing, his wisdom, you know, I just feel like makes a huge difference in the outcome.
Very good. Crystal Parker, she's the president of the Christian Chamber, the Central Florida Christian Chamber. And she's going to be the speaker at the event, which is tomorrow. And we're going to get a sneak preview on all of that in a moment with our final segment for today. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you're in tune to The Shepherd. We are back again in the studios here at The Shepherd with Crystal Parker, my guest on Afternoons with Mike. Friends, thank you for being with me. Boy, I'm ready for a lot of things to be over. And one of the newest things, it's all the rain we're having here. This doesn't feel like Orlando with all this liquid sunshine. It's crazy. I'm ready for those nice sunny days to return. We've got a little bit of sun happening today. But Crystal is going to be the speaker at an event, the monthly event. The Christian Chamber has a number of meetings, most of which are smaller, at some of which are at businesses and so forth. But there's always a monthly get-together. It's a relationship-building time. And usually it's face-to-face at the First Baptist Church down on 33rd Street area in Faith Hall. And that is such a fun time. Now, again, because of COVID restrictions and just where people are right now, this meeting that you're having tomorrow is going to be a virtual online meeting. Is there a charge for people to be a part of that?
No, it is free. And it's what we're calling a hybrid event. So you can choose to engage with us how you wish. We'll have virtual, and people are going to be able to, after the program, join smaller breakout rooms virtually. And there's also an element of a watch party where people that feel comfortable can show up and be around other human beings and still take time in some table talk in smaller groups. So we're trying to really be innovative in how we serve the community, still holding on to that event. And we've actually grown the events. We have our very first professional development series this month, and then we're looking at some workshops. And so there's a lot of really great things that are coming out of the chamber right now.
That's wonderful. Now, you mentioned that you have tomorrow's topic, and I know I don't want to be a spoiler, but I'm going to be, maybe you could share a few things with us today for people that won't be at that meeting that could really use some encouragement, could really use maybe, I used to have a friend that would say, you know, that talk really put some air in my tires, which were a bit deflated. So if there's somebody who feels like their tires that they're running on are a bit low on air, what would you be sharing tomorrow that might bring some encouragement to them?
The title of the talk is Where Innovation Lies and Vision Drives. And so what I'm doing in it, I'll just give you the big picture and then I'll kind of break it down a little bit for you. But what I'm talking about in there is how areas that you can find innovation with for yourself, for your business. So there's three areas that I'm going to talk about. And then I'm going to layer that into some biblical principles. So I'm going to take that and take business basics, because I'm a business nerd, mm-hmm. and I'm a professor. I have self-proclaimed business. I wear that badge, okay? My office is not pictures, it's books. But anyway, so we're going to take business principles with innovation, layer them in with some biblical truths, and then talk about how I'm applying that in the Christian chamber so you can see it in action. And then there's the piece about vision, and it's where are you focusing and what's driving your vision. So that's kind of the big picture piece of it. And we're going to talk about innovation being in three different areas. One of those areas that you can find it is in simplicity within the structure of the organization or the way that you've structured your business. And I love to say success is the greatest enemy of future success. And I know you look at me very funny because it sounds really weird to hear.
Success
someone,
is the enemy of future success.
I like enemy better. Yeah, it is. Because what ends up happening is people get really comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
They ride on that success. They think everything's going well. They even have enough money to pay to make their problems go away if there's a problem or something that's creeping up in the business. And what ends up happening is they don't evolve. And so that's the number one thing, and I'm going to break that down. And then the second piece of that is innovation lies in your people to determine the potential in an organization. And I always encourage people to hire for personality and train for skill. So there's just gold hidden in the people. And so I give six steps on identifying ways to look for the people and the innovative ideas within the organization. And then the third piece of that is innovation lies within your problems. And that's where we're going to talk about utilizing problems and failures to help that be, you know, where you can identify supernatural innovation. And so I'll just share this because it is a download. I'm telling you, when I was writing this, I've been writing it for months. But when I started really getting to the point where I'm going to take these thoughts and put them together, I just sat at a table and God just downloaded some crazy, amazing things for me. And one of the things that just rings over and over in my mind that I want to share with your audience is this: how you see problems or failures will determine your ability to experience innovation. But how you see God will determine your ability to experience supernatural innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, faith moves the hand of God. Faith moves the hand of God. And we see that in the Bible over and over again. There's supernatural things that happen. And people could even see that in their own lives if you're looking for it. And really turning over problems, failures, and things like that over to the one, you know, to our Lord and Savior. And that's where people can really experience something amazing.
How do you fight discouragement that might come to you? Because you've stepped into, again, a big role, a lot of responsibility, and you are a business owner yourself. I'm assuming you've kept the business going during this time. And so there have to be days, I know we're all alike in this, we can all be discouraged to some degree. We can feel that blueness when we get up and there's more evidence of delayed openings and maybe not mm-hmm. quite there yet. How do you deal with that personally?
We just broke this down last Friday at a Fellowship Friday, more along the lines of a little bit of the imposter syndrome or that negative, that stinking thinking, right? Because ultimately that's what it is.
Stinking thinking.
And so we broke this down and I really enjoyed the conversation. Was rich. I mean, you had 22 people in that room mm-hmm. that shared how they get through those thoughts, the defeat, whatever. The big picture of that and what I took away was, you know, you got to sit still. You got to sit in it for a little bit. Just listen to God. Some people believed in just kicking on some worship music and just spend time worshiping God. Mm-hmm. You had some people, Mark, actually, he said, you know, the Lord wakes me up at 3 a.m. And sometimes those thoughts and the fear and all that wakes him up. And he says, immediately I get out of bed and go right to the Word. I start just getting the Word. Some people talked about prayer and somebody else talked about, I have to look at who I'm circling myself with, who's around me and who's speaking into my life. And so, you know, really, I think the biggest thing is it, you know, it tells us to guard our heart, right? Mm-hmm. Guard your heart because it's the wellspring of life. And how you guard your heart, in my opinion, and what I've learned is what goes in your ears, what goes in your eyes, who you're around and what energy you're around and how you're serving God. And, you know, if you can really think about how am I guarding my heart? And I'm telling you, when you put yourself in the positive around positive people, even though you're like, I'm depressed, I can't even get out of bed. How am I going to do this? Right. Then it's to turn your thoughts over to God. You're thinking too much about yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not trying. That's why I'm a great coach, because I'll tell you the truth. You're thinking too much about yourself. Start thinking about other people. Somebody even did say in that group, I just go serve. I just go to a food line or something and serve other people. So again, these are all things to get outside of your head. Because I'm telling you that you will be trapped in there by the enemy. That's where he wants you. He mm-hmm. seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And if he can get you isolated, if he can get you in your head, worried about you, then he is winning. And so get around some people that are truth speakers and be a truth seeker and get out of it.
I think that's good advice. You know, there's a time, a good friend of mine, Danny Jones, he's on the show from time to time, and he was going to be helping me do some tree trimming years ago, and this is a old story, but it just became fresh as I'm hearing you say this. I remember it because it made a big impact on me. On the day that he had not been feeling well, and he thought he was going to have to cancel, and I thought it was going to be canceled, so all of a sudden there's a knock on my door, and there he is, and I'm thinking, well, I thought you were certainly feeling too bad to do it, and he goes, well, I'm not feeling great, but I feel like serving with somebody will make me feel better. Mm-hmm. And so we, even though maybe, you know, physically he wasn't up to par to begin the day, as he made the decision to step out and to do it, first thing you know, he got the second wind and he was feeling much better. And the work actually, I guess, revived, if you will, the heart and the body, and we had a great day, and he felt much better by the end of the day. Sometimes there's just a step of faith that we have to take, even though we may not feel like it, even though we may not feel up to it.
Especially if you don't feel up to it. And if you look back at the Bible, and I know you've got a great, great handle and sense of the Bible, so you could probably tell me some stories, but every time people are abiding, they're hearing from God, right? But the miracles happened when action from the individual, even the mm-hmm. woman that just touched the hem of Jesus' robe, the miracles happened when Moses struck the rock. That's when the water came. It was God's abiding in us. He's telling us, but when you have the breakthrough is when you take the step. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, it's probably the hardest step you ever have to take is when your biggest breakthrough is going to come. And so your example of that situation with the tree trimming is perfect to say, just take that first step.
Mm-hmm.
Take that first step and trust God.
Yeah, it's amazing how many times the verse becomes so real. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And I think one of the things that's happened, it's a result that we've all been tempted with during this pandemic. When we were shut down, we were shut in some ways locked down. People were having to quarantine and maybe hibernate is another way it felt. But, you know, when you do that, you're becoming a bit of a hearer. And we wait for news externally. We wait for something to happen magically, as it were. And it's not going to happen that way. It's going to happen as we step out in faith, do what we can. And sometimes doing what we can, which in our mind is doing nothing. But in God's mind, in God's way of doing things, what you said is so true. That action, you're becoming a doer of the word and not a hearer only.
Well,
and
good.
God just opens doors unbelievably. And our faith in him brings it about.
It's so good. And something that just hit my spirit is giving out of excess. You know, when you're just giving out of excess or the overflow, it's easy or whatever. But when you are really making those steps, because it's hard. There's so many people that are hurting right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be Pollyanna to sit here and say that some of your listeners right now may be at the lowest point in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just encourage you to say, take the first step.
Mm.
Open the Bible, pray. Give it to God. Turn on some worship music. Serve somebody. Be in obedience with what the Lord's whispering. He's whispering something to you right now. He's telling you in your spirit something right now. And I would just say to you, be obedient. No matter how crazy, how out of this world it may feel, take the step and something supernatural will happen for you.
I've seen it happen so many times. The last shot in a basketball game with it's seemingly no time left, but that one shot gets up before the buzzer sounds and it goes in. The margin of victory was 1 point at the last split second.
Yes.
But that's all that takes to be a winner. That's all it takes is just that last minute. And there's lots of time. Crystal Parker, thank you for being with me.
Truly an honor. Thank you so much.
And friends, thank you for being here, both to hear Senator Rick Scott and my guest, Crystal Parker. Hope you can join me next time here on The Shepherd on Afternoons with Mike.